Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I'm going to continue a little bit today on the theme that I've been talking about Sunday and Monday, because it's certainly making an impression on my own heart. And so I'm praying that it's making an impression upon yours. We're so self-focused that there can be suffering people right in front of us. And most of the time we don't see it. We don't even acknowledge it. There are other times, unfortunately, when we do see it and we say, I'm not getting involved in that. I'm too busy. I have too many things to do. But on the day of judgment, it may not be those many things that you are too busy for. It might not be those things that God judges you on, but he will judge you on how we treat one another. He will judge us on our own selfishness of not reaching out to another. Now, don't go overboard. Don't think that absolutely every person I see in need, I'm the one that has to stop. That's not true. You may have other, probably do have other responsibilities in life, and we have an obligation to carry out those responsibilities, but not to the exclusion of caring for the needy around us. Don't exclude it. You've got to get a balance here. That's why I'm saying open your eyes and accept one person. Look at the need of one person. And again, all you may do is greet them every day as you see them. That can change a life. Somebody paid attention to me. Among the anonymous millions of workers in this country alone, how many people are greeted? How many are thanked? How many are helped? Dorothy Day, who was the founder of the Catholic worker movement, said this: compassion is a word meaning to suffer with. To suffer with. If we all carry a little of the burden, it will be lightened. If we share in the suffering of the world, then some will not have to endure so heavy an affliction. It evens out. What you do in New York or in Harrisburg helps those in China, India, South Africa, Europe, Russia, as well as in the oasis where you are. You may think you are alone, but we are members one of another. We are children of God together. And I think in a very simple, clear way, she's articulated the focus we need to have. Please pay attention to this. Please open your heart to what God wants to do in you and through you. First reading today is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the suffering of this present time, the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. And even if I'm speaking right at this moment to people who are suffering physically or mentally, emotionally, in a very deep way, what you have to look forward to will obliterate the suffering when the time comes. Trust God. Draw near to him. Rest with him. Offer your suffering for the salvation of others. Trust him. Rest in him. He hasn't abandoned you. Not at all. Paul goes on to say, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing. Hear that, faith? Compared with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption. We're slaves to corruption. We're slaves to the things that die, and we put all our time and energy in them. And then we look around the people that are going to live forever, What investment do we make in them? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Are you living out of the first fruits? We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This life, we long for freedom. We long for adoption. We long for eternal life. That's right. Keep your eyes on the goal, but take care of everybody you can in this life along the way. And make sure that your own goals and your own priorities are in the right place. In hope we were saved. Now hope that sees for itself is not hope. For who hopes for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. Ask God for the gift that I may have the gift to endure whatever I'm going through right now. The gift to endure that even in the midst of this cross that it might bear fruit. It might bear fruit for everlasting life. Having an eternal perspective is critical for all of us. And I don't know what percentage, but a very high percentage do not. How do I know that? By what they choose, by what they focus on, by what they pay attention to. Are you willing to wait with endurance that God will never fail, that God's promises are true? And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 18 to 21, Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden, and when it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." What is Jesus telling us? He's telling us that we need to have faith to believe in the seed, to believe in the yeast that causes the dough to rise. The work of the kingdom of God is not on the marquee at movie theaters. It's not on Broadway. It's not on billboards. The kingdom of God is planted like a seed in your life. It's quiet. The world wants everything loud, big, imposing. And look what the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God where you will live forever. Think of that. It's like a seed. It's like yeast that you put in a batch of dough and it causes the dough to rise and to make a lovely loaf of bread. But the yeast disappears and the seed disappears in the fruit that it bears. So you can't look with human eyes to say, okay, where is this kingdom? God's doing it in your heart. And you want to tend to mix analogies here. You want to tend where that seed has been planted. You want to tend that. Might be a little garden. It might be a big garden. You want to tend that. Pay attention to that. God works with the small and the hidden and to the world, the seemingly insignificant. That's how he works. Ask God to give you eyes to see as he sees and ears to hear as he hears. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to do that for you and then pay attention and cultivate the seed that isn't seen, won't receive any praise in the world. The seed isn't known. The yeast, Who eating a delicious loaf of bread says, what wonderful yeast? We don't. We don't. And yet without the yeast and without the seed, the product would never happen. Kingdom of God is like a seed. The kingdom of God is like yeast. God put it in your heart when you were baptized. Is it beginning to bear fruit? And if it isn't, just say, Lord, help me. Turn me around. Don't say, oh, well, not for me. I'm not holy like that. No, no, no. Just say, Lord, activate the gifts you gave me in baptism and give me the grace and the strength to pay attention when you begin to act. And then look for ways to cooperate with God every day. And watch what the yeast and the seed begin to do in your life. The gospel for today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? I'm reading this again, so I want you to hear this. It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. And when it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches. The birds of the sky dwelt in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened. What about your family? What about your friends? What about your workplace? What about those with whom you recreate? Are you watering the seed or helping to water the seed in their hearts? Are you helping to cultivate in them the kingdom of God? And I don't mean that you have to preach the gospel directly, though you may. But I mean that what you speak about and your life reflects peace. It reflects a joy. It may reflect wisdom. And people are attracted to that, even though they might not know what they're attracted to. They're attracted because it touches something deep, deep down in the soul that the soul is thirsting for, starving for. All of us. All of us. We starve sometimes because we don't know what it is that we're looking for. What we're looking for is the grace of God. What we're looking for, really, our soul knows it. Even if our mind doesn't, our soul knows that it's looking for. It's starving, it's thirsty for the kingdom of God. And God wants to strengthen that in you so that you, in turn, can reach out to your neighbor and touch their lives. It's God doing it. But we become his servant. And he uses us to bring other people closer to him. May God abundantly speak to your heart and bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.